John, at the end of last week's podcast, you posed the question, do we want battery hens or free-range chickens? Could you expand on that a bit more for us?
Yes, delighted to, because a number of people have asked me about this in the few days that have followed. I use that as an illustration to say, actually, what kind of education do we think we want? Now, education is about a lot of things. It's about skills, yes, but it's about developing belief systems, it's about attitudes, it's about personal relationships and whatever. And so I said, what kind of education? Now, what kind of education do we want? Because what you provide children with shapes the way the rest of their lives are lived. Now, I'm older than most people, which is not necessarily an advantage. In this case, I think it is, because I was growing up in the years just directly after the Second World War. Now, I didn't know anything about economic theory then, but looking back on it, I'm intrigued because in 1946, Maynard Keynes, who was the leading economist at the time, made a very interesting projection. He said, actually, don't get too depressed. The world's in a bad state, but in the next 20 years, if we get our act together, we can organise existence so well that nobody needs starve, everybody can have a house, everybody can receive an education. And then, he said, and this was the great dream of the Enlightenment, then there'll be enough time for everybody to fulfil their real interests. All right? Well, that was a lovely dream, and those were the dream of the teachers who were educating me grew up on. As it happened, within the next 20 years, the war industries, which had been geared to massive production of tanks and guns and whatever, geared up to producing stuff for the consumer market. By 1959, they were so damn efficient that they were producing more than they could sell. And they turned around and said, well, if we don't increase the desire for things, we will never have profits. And so they introduced something which is intriguing. They actually talked in terms of the fact that our enormous productivity demands that we make consumption our way of life, that we convert buying and use of goods into rituals, that we seek our spiritual satisfaction, our ego satisfaction, in consumption. We've actually got to persuade people that the thing that keeps society going is feeling miserable if you don't have things. That was 1959. That was the birth of the advertising industry. And interestingly enough, Charles Fraser here in England, who speaks very often on the radio and in The Guardian, took up exactly this point two or three days ago. We have a whole way of life which is designed to make us feel unhappy if we're not actually getting more stuff. And this issue of getting more stuff is devastating to the world. And in fact, I've often spoken about this, but the Short History of Progress of Ronald Wright, not that long ago, we're now consuming about 125 to 150% of nature's annual output. In other words, we're burning up stuff so quickly that we are in, whereas my grandfather was a farmer, would have used long ago, we're burning up our seed corn. In fact, we do know this way of life couldn't keep going forever. It's extenuated by the fact that we're now discovering medical treatment that will enable us to live for longer and longer and longer. Yet we don't necessarily want to work for longer and longer. Why? Because the work that most people do is so damn boring, because it's geared to being ultra-efficient. And so I tie that back to education, and quite recently, in the last 6 weeks, I suppose, Michael Gove was talking about how well he admired Daniel Willingham, the professor at the University of Virginia, who produced a book called Why Students Don't Like School. And he's a cognitive scientist. He knows a lot about the individual elements of the brain that process thought. Now, thought is only one of the things the brain does, because the brain is also very much to do with emotion, it's to do with inquisitiveness. And Willingham, who's obviously very confident of himself, actually writes his whole book around the thesis that Einstein was wrong. Einstein said imagination is more important than knowledge. Willingham says that is totally wrong. Knowledge comes before imagination. And therefore you've got to fill children up with what the school can provide them, and the school can measure what it provides them with. And this is what so attracted him, I believe, to Michael Gove, who said, now this is the absolute justification why we have to have more rigorous curriculum with more content, But he then went on and said, oh, and by the way, we'll have fewer subjects, because only a few subjects actually count. Now, that is devastating to the future well-being of society. And before, I know I've quoted in blogs Vaclav Havel's statement that education is the ability to see the hidden connections between things. If we're educating children not to see the connection between how we bring them up and the world they're going to inherit and the world they're going to shape, then in fact it's a pretty average disaster. So I think there is a lot here around a very serious question of, do we know what we think we're doing?